Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Holy Scripture appointed for this day is from 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at the 11th verse. And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, throw down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. And yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him.' So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them, and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him." This is our text. I have to say that Elijah is my prophet. A wonderment and beauty of Elijah helps us understand in this passage the supremacy, an explosive power of God's living, spoken word. I want to make a point about Elijah and his encounter with the Lord God. But first, I'd like to tell you a story. 5 years ago, while stationed in the Army in Kuwait, my unit was supporting combat operations out of Jordan. I was staying in a tent in Jordan, a nice tent, outside of Amman, Jordan. It was a base used by the NATO Special Forces, the GSG-9 of Germany, the SAS of Great Britain, probably Delta Force of the United States, certainly Green Beret and Rangers. I was given a soldier guide to show me the holy sites of Jordan. He was part of the elite Green Beret. "Where do you want to go?" he said. I told him, "The baptismal site." "Really, I just wanted to see the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized." And he responded, "Hey, I got the vehicle for the day. It's full of gas. You buy me a Starbucks coffee in Amman, and I'll take you to other biblical sites." I said, "Deal." Off we flew, and I mean fast, never asking him where we were going. We shot past various exits to the baptismal site and headed into the vast, empty desert. He took us straight to what I call Holy Site 1 for him. It was Sodom and Gomorrah. We went up a back road. Well, really, it was no road at all, and I wasn't sure the motor would make it up the dusty region of the ancient Moab. But we did make it. The sight of Sodom and Gomorrah would take your breath away. It looked like God dropped a series of nuclear weapons on a city. It was completely flattened. Even the rocks were flat, black, broken, and burned. But that's not where I wanted to go. I was hopeful to see the other sites. And then he drove down to the lowest place on earth, holy site number two for him, the Dead Sea. And it was pretty dead. You could see Jericho through the desert dust and haze. It was now mid-morning. The temperatures hovered at around 110 degrees, and there was no AC in our vehicle. He then drove us out into the middle of the Moab Desert to an archaeological ruin sitting on a flat hill surrounded by caves tucked into a steep valley. A somewhat restored old palace. He parked the vehicle and we walked up a goat path. And he wanted to stop and show me a cave, and we poked around the cave for a while. So his third holy site was Machaerus, the infamous setting of the beheading of John the Baptist, the great herald of Christ. Held captive, the Dance of Salome, whose name is revealed in Josephus' writings, where the prophet John was beheaded. The special forces sergeant whisked us off to the fourth holy site, a small city with a large active Christian congregation. A baptism was going on in the sanctuary, and we had to be respectful and quiet. He took me to the basement, to a yet-to-be-cataloged site of Christian ruins in the church's deep, deep, dark, cold sub-basement. It was the flooring of a very large mosaic of Christian symbols. He said it was destroyed during the Crusader period. The floor looked like a giant frozen ripples on the Great Lakes. I was hopeful to see the baptismal site. The day was kind of moving on. So being a good soldier, we took off like a whirlwind. We bypassed Mount Nebo, where Moses died. Hey, no, can't do that. No. Not enough time to stop. Finally, we arrived at the baptismal site. It was like walking on a nature trail in Michigan. Very different than the Moab. Trees, foliage, 20 degrees cooler than the Moab Desert. It was amazing, incredible, overwhelming. I took my shoes and socks off, put my legs in the water. I got on my hymnal and read the baptismal formula and sang to myself, "On Jordan's bank the Baptist cried." I dipped a corner of the baptismal formula of my hymnal in the Jordan, the place where Jesus was baptized, the Trinitarian meeting as Jesus came out of the water. And as we were leaving the site and talking about Starbucks, I couldn't help but notice a pillar out in the desert area. In the middle of the desert, it was old, very old. It was half disintegrated by many, many centuries. I asked my Green Beret host what that was. In a nonchalant manner, he told me, "Oh, that? Why, that is Tel Elias." He said it real fast like that. I stopped and I processed the term he just used, Tel Elias. What he said, using archaeological terminology and Old English, I responded, "You know what that pillar is. That is commemorating the spot, the very place where the fiery chariot of the Lord God came down and scooped up the prophet Elijah. That chariot took him into heaven." And I wanted to tell him, and he'd never evidently heard this before, that Elijah had never died. Elijah was taken up into heaven. And he looked astonished, and he thought about it, and then he said, "Wow. Cool. Aside from the baptismal site, I thought all the biblical sites dealt with just death and destruction." Once we made it back to metropolitan Amman, we were pulled over by the Amman Highway Patrol. He was fined about $100 for speeding. Pretty fast and pretty crazy. But look at what's happening in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and following. There are more twists and turns than a desert drive with a special forces soldier. First, Elijah is up. God manifests himself through the prophet in an almost over-the-top manner. A sacrifice touched with lightning of God explodes with fire, though soaking wet. Immediately, 450 prophets of Baal are then executed. And now another twist. Queen Jezebel desires the same of Elijah. Dead by the end of the day. Elijah flees. Now another twist and surprising turn. Now before we get to the cave, it would be well for us to hear what St. John Chrysostom has to say about this event. And this is what St. John Chrysostom says. Beloved brethren, when you hear that St. Elijah fled, do not imagine that he fled from the death of this world. No, God forbid. He longed to depart out of the death of this world, to rest himself in the good things that are unutterable. But he feared least after the destruction which he had brought upon men, the famine and the fire which he had brought from heaven, and the blood of the prophets which he had poured out, which wonders the people having seen believed upon God. If Jezebel should slay him, she should boast that she had slain the Tishbite, and that the whole multitude which had turned to God by reason of all the mighty deeds and wonders which St. Elijah had wrought, whom Jezebel had persecuted and slain, would return to the service of idols, and that mankind would perish by forsaking God. This is where I part ways, of many a contemporary preacher, commentary, and elucidation in our therapeutic culture. Often we hear this passage as one of shallow comparison with us, as if we are Elijah. And so the argument goes, we suffer, we get sad, we fret about life. Yes, that's it, we are Elijah, because he is like us. Wow. By tucking this event into the self-help section, you're missing out on one of the greatest events in Holy Scripture. This is not comparison time. It'd be like me passing by a holy site in a holy land made by the Holy Lord and not even stopping. It's like looking at only one part of salvation history and not unfolding the rest of it. It'd be like me touching a basketball and now telling you I can play like Kawhi Leonard, because I tooled around Jordan by a special forces soldier. By no means am I a tour guide. I want to make clear that God does care deeply for us. The Lord sees our sin and our need for redemption. We cannot earn it, deserve it, or even in our darkened human condition, desire it. Thus, Jesus does save us. He does rescue us. He does preserve our life. We know this and believe it when we confess the Apostles' Creed, and in this case, Article 1. But we really are not like Elijah. We are called, and through the Almighty, but at the same time, Elijah was set apart by God for a unique purpose in human history. And so consider this about Elijah. He was given divine supplies three times, fed by ravens, fed by a widow, and now by an angel. Elijah was present with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. Outside of the book of Kings, Elijah is cited 34 times. We witness numerous miracles of Elijah, from that sacrifice on Mount Carmel to the restoring the life of a dead child. In Jewish tradition, Elijah is invoked during Passover Seder and at the weekly Havdalah ritual marking the end of Shabbat. In the New Testament, Jesus and John the Baptist are compared with Elijah. He is a witness at circumcisions in the Jewish community even to this day. There may be some similarities with Elijah if we stretch it: loneliness, discouragement, worry about life. But the wonderment and beauty of Elijah helps us understand in this passage the supremacy and explosive power of God's living, spoken word. We can be distracted by the darkness of a cave. We assume God is in the violent wind and miss the point. You will not find his holiness in the wind. We may consider God in a ferocious earthquake and assume this is where the Lord God resides, as frightening and destructive as earthquakes are. Many would consider a large fire, a raging inferno, as a place of God's throne. But all are created forces by the God of heaven and earth. The most powerful element of the Lord is his word in this text. Words that tell us our part as redeemed children of God to declare to a world sickened by sin. You're not abandoned. Your work is not yet finished until God said it is done. So Elijah, in chapter 19, is about the efficacy and power of God's word. It is powerful, fulfilling and accomplishing what it sets out to do. It's not just about mayhem and destruction, but life and hope, salvation and happiness. Now, God's word has much to say about loneliness, isolation, anxiety, and fear. But we should all start at our baptism. And as a baptized people, our redemption through water and the word brings us to a community, a family, where Christ is the head. We read of this in John chapter 3, verse 5. where Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And Titus 3, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." So as we walk through crisis, anxious times, fearful days, we do so as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You see, God knows his people. 23 times the word anxious and anxiety are mentioned in Scripture. 142 times alone is used in Scripture. 385 times fear is addressed. It is through the Holy Spirit that we take this word of God to heart. So Elijah, in this chapter, points to the power of God's word and leads us by the hand to the eternal word, to Jesus himself. This is who Elijah desires of us. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God and not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that by the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Michael Kearney, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.